Welcome back to another episode of Behind Frenemy Lines, where we get an opposition supporter on to chat about the big upcoming game for the week. And today we are joined by Jake from Saints TV to talk about the Richmond St Kilda game coming up tomorrow. Jake, welcome. How are you, mate?
Thanks for having me, Chris. First time on the channel, so I feel very honoured. And big game on Saturday, mate, so I'm very keen to discuss it with you.
Yeah, it is a big game. First, before we get stuck into the game, how did you get into becoming a St Kilda supporter and how did you start up Saints TV? What was the beginning of all that? Because it's a huge channel now. I think you've got 13,000 subscribers. You're smashing it on YouTube.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah, I guess I started in 2018. Maybe it's like, I feel like a lot of YouTubers start in a similar way, especially club-based ones, where it's out of frustration or something's not going right on the field and they need a place to go and share their thoughts and get in touch with the fan base. And yep. 2018 was that, start of the year. I'd done Arsenal Football Club stuff before. I did a lot of live reviews for the EPL, like in the morning. And so I had that sort of background of doing reviews, designing thumbnails and stuff. And I never occurred to me to do it for AFL until pre-game. Round one, I think it was 2018, and started the channel, did a few live reviews. People seemed to like it, especially just me being brutally honest about poor performances and not being too nice. And yeah, turns out there's a lot of people that feel the same way and maybe yep. don't. So there's debates too, which is fun. And I've kind of just been rolling with it from there. And there's a lot of other YouTubers in the space and we all kind of inspire each other in a way now, which is nice. There wasn't too many back when I started, but now there's quite a few. And yeah, it's good to collaborate like today with you and to do my own thing and to have a safe space to go and say, well, this is shit or this is great. Yeah. We should do this. And it's, you know, I don't think any of us come across as wanting to be experts. We're not commentators. We're just fans. We just have an opinion and we just kind of want to share it. And that's kind of the basis of it.
And in a lot of ways, I think fans of fan-based channels can often relate to the content a lot more because coming from a clubland level, it always has to be pretty prim and proper and toe the company line and very positive, which I understand it. That's how it's got to be. Whereas, like you said, we can kind of call it how it is. If you don't like something, if you don't like how a player played or a moment in a game, you can call it how it is. And, you know, we've had a pretty rough trot the last couple of years performance-wise. And our Monday night live shows have essentially been therapy sessions where people can just come and vent and drop comments in the live chat, and it ends up, you know, there was one point I'm like, we're going to drop off massively here because we're not winning games, but actually the opposite, because people were enjoying just the raw passion and emotion coming from supporters and saying and feeling yeah. what they're thinking as well. So yeah, it works well in some ways.
100%. And like going through a transitional period that your team is going from being, you know, premiership after premiership, and now obviously in the rebuild phase, you start to me, the exciting part would be looking at the young kids, looking at the positives that could develop in the next 5 years. Is not so much, you know, obviously it's win-loss based very much like emotionally, but there are positives to take out of pretty much any situation. That's what I found anyway, even after yeah. a loss, there is something that can give you hope going into the next week. You know, there's no loss that would, you know, tell me to give up on the team. There's always something even in a loss that you might pick and go, even last week, you might've taken something away from it. I have no idea, yeah. but maybe you did. And you're like, I want to see that kid. I want to see him do that thing again. That's exactly why you go right. to football at this point in time.
Yeah. So, and yeah. That's been our big message as well, that we have to view football through a different lens this year as a Richmond supporter. Last week, admittingly, you had to look a little bit harder to find the positives, but the second half, there were some yeah. positives there from some young kids. But yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting year. But we've got the Saints this week. Richmond sitting 14th, coming off a 72-point thumping from Port Adelaide, and St Kilda coming off a 7-point win against the Cats. I think you're in 13th now after the result last night. I think changed things a little bit for you after the round. Now, we haven't beaten St Kilda at Marvel since 2021, and you've won 4 of the last 5 encounters. You're just a team we don't match up well on. It's one of those bizarre things. Even when we were going well in the, you know, 2020, 21, 22, you'd still belt us.
Yeah, for memory, there's been a couple there where Max King's gotten off the leash. Obviously, yeah. he's not going to be playing tomorrow, but I remember it might have been 22 where did he kick 4 in the last quarter and kind of rip the game open where he just went nuts?
Yeah,
he's I don't know if you remember just that, but yeah. Even the MCG game, you beat us, which that was just a dour affair. Taranto kicking the winner in the last minute, I remember, and broke my heart. I think that was Cochin's 300th, maybe? For memory.
Was it? It might have. I can't remember. Yeah,
I'm testing your memory there. But at the G, you've kind of had a measure. But yeah, Marvel, we have it like with similar with Geelong, Richmond, there's a couple of teams there where I don't know if it's the fact that it's, I don't know, there's no conditions, it's quick, it's slick, we can play our game a little bit more than at GMHBA or the MCG with different elements. I have no idea, but I definitely don't, you know, irrespective of where two teams are going into this game, we cannot be taking it lightly because I was amazed with what you guys did in round one. That was pretty phenomenal, and I'm sure you didn't see that coming.
No, none of us did. We all thought that we were going to get... We said if we can keep it under 35 or 40 points, we'd be doing all right. So, yeah, to see that...
And who would have thought it gets beyond that and then you still win? That's unreal.
Crazy. But you also identify a few problems within that too, because even last week against Port, it's now two games in a row that we've coughed up the first six or seven goals really easily. And you can't wind back 41-point leads on a weekly basis. It's not sustainable. So that's probably one of the big things I'm looking at this week to see how we can try and control that in the first quarter, because we can't afford for St Kilda to get a big start. But how do you feel heading into this game in light of your win against the Cats? I'm assuming the confidence from supporters and probably the players will be feeling pretty up and about after a win like that.
I think last week was definitely needed. After the aftermath of the Adelaide game, we're all feeling a bit down because despite our injuries, I kind of don't really want to use that too much as an excuse. But the more you see other teams play, like obviously we're only two or three games in, right? We've only played two. Other teams are going to play three before we even play our third tomorrow. Like Essendon, I think they've played three. Port have played three. So I think there's not enough sample size to kind of...
Yeah.
Get crazy with a loss. Like you need to see more. Like Adelaide, round one looked bad, but then I see how they tore Essendon apart and I'm like, oh, maybe they're actually pretty good this year. So
yeah,
you just need more proof from teams. So that's me with other teams, but then at the same time, that's me telling myself, okay, with my club, I need to wait. It's still too early. We've only played two games. We played a poor game, we played a great game. We needed to respond, but now we're expected to win and win well. This is almost more of a test out of the first three, because when you've got the expectations on you, we've tended to buckle a little bit. We've gotten the job done, but not convincingly. So I think there is confidence, at least in that. Well, if we can play the way we played last week, we should win comfortably. But at the same time, we're Saints fans. We don't have any reason to get ahead of ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Like
history
proves we can't trust this team too much yet, but I think we're starting to, and especially blooding youth and getting games into kids, but also the senior boys lifting like McRae and Steele, Brad Hill, Mason Wood. I'm really liking the mix. So I think our squad overall is in a really good spot.
Speaking of Jack McRae, he's just landed in your lap, essentially. 35 disposals, 10 tackles, 8 marks, 9 clearances last week. Crazy that you can pick up a player like that and have that kind of impact straight away. How has he changed your midfield dynamic?
He's taken the load off Steele big time. Obviously, Brad Crouch finished up and he only played the one game last year. And I think that affected Steele because they worked so well in 2023 leading up to our finals run. Just their partnership was awesome. This year, Steele looks fitter, but McRae's doing... I didn't expect this. I thought he was more of an outside player. Obviously, I didn't watch too much of him at the Bulldogs, but I'm amazed how contested he is, that he almost lets Steele, Windhager, Darcy Wilson play more of an outside game. And he's just clean. Like watching him live last week, everything he did, it hit the target. He didn't delay a decision. He didn't slow the game down. Everything was just perfect. And some players just are calm in traffic, and he is. And with such a young team, you know, similar to Richmond, you need those senior players to really just control the tempo and kind of calm everyone down, especially if the momentum's against you. And he's done that really well. And he's a perfect player that makes the rest of the team better. You know, some players are just A grade in their own right, and maybe they put on the responsibility on themselves and they want to do everything, and you're like, fair enough, you're the star. But I don't think he thinks of himself in the star way. I think he is a star, but he makes other players that 10% better around him, and I think that's even more important. Stoked to have him. And Bevo, you've stuffed up, mate. Pick 45 for a player that you would absolutely love in the midfield right now without Bont. Big mistake, but we'll take it.
he's had a shocker, Bevo, to lose Caleb Daniel, McRae, Bailey Smith. Like, it's a whole engine room gone in a blink of an eye. But anyway.
You're telling me they couldn't fit them into the team? Come on.
I got no idea what he was doing last year. He's tortures on Supercoach on multiple levels as well. It just hasn't been fun. But, you know, the way you just described Jack McRae, I think is what we want Taranto to do on a weekly basis. He had a bit of a nightmare last week, I'm sure you would have heard. So we're hoping that he bounces back to help guide the way, because like you said, it's to help the youngsters out. And I noticed that, Wilson in particular, I think benefits a little bit, just be able to use his pace tearing up and down the wings on the outside. It's just one less thing he has to worry about going to find the ball if you've got someone as reliable as McRae to feed it out. So that's a big
100%.
Win.
Yeah, the extractor. He gets it and then he gives it straight away.
Yeah, not always sexy, but it does the job for the rest of the team, and you need all those types of players.
Yeah.
We'll take a look at the team lineups, the ins and outs. For St Kilda, you've got Cooper Sharman coming in. I think it's for his 50th game, if I read that correctly. And Toby Trevaglia, one of the draftees, who was a hot property, I reckon, in the draft. So I was a little bit jealous you guys took him. Very happy for Toby. How do you think he's going to go, firstly? And secondly, I've seen his name on the interchange. Please tell me you're not going to play him as sub. That would be just cruel. I hate it when clubs do that.
Yeah, look, I don't think he will be the sub. I think he's earned his spot. A lot of people thought round one he was going to debut. We only played him in the last quarter against Carlton in the Pracky. Port Adelaide, he played, minimized minutes there. And then he's played Sandy last week and did really well. 25, a goal, 9 tackles as well, which Ross will love.
Wow.
The fact that he's on the attack, but he's also defensively minded as well. I think he'll play. I'm hoping he'll play a full game. We debuted Isaac Keeler last week. He played the full game, which was that was amazing. Collard came out of nowhere, played the full game. We probably debuted a couple more. I can't recall. O'Connell, I don't think he's the Irishman. He hasn't been the sub at all. So Ross hasn't really done that, at least this year. So I think Toby's earned it, and I think he should definitely get a start. He doesn't look like a player that'll be overawed by the occasion. Like one of his first disposals against Carlton in the Pracky was a long bomb from 55. And even in a Pracky, he's celebrating, he's loving it. He looks He looks like a quietly confident kid. Like he's quiet, I reckon, in the rooms and pre-game. But I reckon once he gets out there, he can really express himself with his football. And knowing that you've got Darcy Wilson, Nasiah, Mitch Owens, Marcus Winhager, all in that under 23 bracket with him, I think that just takes the pressure off and just hopefully means that he can just have fun. Collard as well, Caminiti. We've got, when I name them all, I'm astounded, people don't think we're young. We've got a lot of youngsters in this team.
Yeah.
So I think he'll fit in perfectly and hopefully has a great game.
He's going to be a player for the future for sure. So I think missing for you guys will be Liam Stocker and Hunter Clark. Coming in for us, Tom Lynch, thank God he's back. And Tyler Sonzi missing out Sam Banks with concussion and Liam Fawcett, who didn't really do a lot wrong, but he's just not Tom Lynch, essentially. Mm-hmm. But look, big ins for us in terms of structure. It's no secret that Tom Lynch makes a huge difference for us when we're getting the ball down the ground. He just gives us a target to kick to, and he allows players like Bauer and Armstrong, who are super inexperienced, to not have the number one defender, and it gives them half a chance to be able to compete in the air. But Tyler Sonzi is another interesting one for us who smashes it in the VFL. I think he had 34 touches in the midfield, 9 clearances. But whenever he plays at AFL level, we can only really manage to play him on the half forward line or the wing. And he just looks a little bit lost. So we're kind of hoping that he might get some midfield minutes. But big inclusion. So Lynch, the main one. Who do you think gets the match up there from St Kilda perspective to stand on Tom Lynch?
I mean, Caminiti's probably, in terms of size, the best matchup. But obviously, Cal Wilkie is our most experienced and All-Australian backman. So I dare say just initially maybe Cal Wilkie, and then we can see how that's going. If we're controlling the game, and obviously it's dictated on how our midfield's going. If you're getting on top and Lynch is getting one-on-ones and he's causing problems, that means the midfield's not working. But if we're dominating, I dare say the inside 50s will be minimal on the Tigers' end, and that kind of negates any sort of threat that Tom Lynch has. If he's pushing up the ground and he's marking it on the wing, I'm loving that. I'm thinking we're on top here, because the next kick, where's that going? It might be Cal Wilkie behind the ball, eating it up, and then we rebound and then we get you on the turnover. So I'm not too, like, seeing him in is obviously, yeah, a bit of an extra headache. If he wasn't there, I'd be feeling much more confident because he has had good games against us and he's a very good player when he's on. But I think, yeah, Caminiti, Wilkie probably just operate together depending on where Lynch is. If he's closer to goal, maybe Wilkie. If he's further up, maybe Hammer. I think it's just between the two of them.
And like you said, it comes down to the midfield as well because we can make the game awfully difficult for Tom Lynch with how we move the ball and how slow our movement can sometimes be. I know on our live show we mentioned that our midfield seemed like they had concrete in their boots against Port Adelaide. And yeah, if we enter the game doing anything remotely similar against you guys, I'm sure we'll get torched in there. From the outside looking in, Josh Battle leaving your club in the off-season, it felt like it was going to be a big gaping hole from a non-Saints supporter perspective. How has it been for you? Like, do you think you filled the space really well? Is it all been covered? Are you pushing on and everything's going swimmingly without him?
Well, round one, we played the three-headed monster in Walker, Fogarty, and Thilthorpe. So yeah, they tore us up, and obviously Battle would have helped them. But then last week, we took care of Jezza. Jezza was playing a halfback for most of the game. I was like, what's going on here? So Hammer had his best game in his career. He had 13 marks, 400 meters gained, 89% efficiency. He was awesome. So I think he needed that. We played him forward in round one, but over the offseason, he'd been training in the back line. So I think he's much more suited to being that second tall with Wilkie. And with Dugues coming back, hopefully in the next 4 or 5 weeks, we'll have those three. I'll be much more comfortable. We had Cordy in round one who was dropped. So I think it's still a work in progress. I'm not going to say he's literally, Hammer's played one brilliant game, but obviously, it's way too early to tell if he can be that Josh Battle replacement. But in terms of size, in terms of what he brings to the table, it is very like for like. But obviously, yeah, the more inexperienced version of Battle. But if there's anything Ross Lyon does well, it's preparing a back line. Even if it's undersized, undermanned, Ross knows how to have a defensive structure behind the ball that limits the opposition's ability to hit the scoreboard. Even if like we give up marks inside 50, they're always wide. We zone the middle really well. So we're at least, if you know, some teams will say, well, we got 17 marks inside 50. And well, if you map it out, the percentages of those shots are 15% chance of going in. So
yeah,
that's when I know where we're switched on, is if you're not taking marks directly in front of goal. But I think Hammer's on the right track. He's still young and, yeah, if he keeps developing the way he did last week, we won't be talking about Josh Battle anymore, which would be nice.
And realistically, there's not too many teams that have those three really dominant big key forwards. I mean, Adelaide, yeah, those three have come on really well together, but there's not too many others. Obviously, Carlton with Mackay and Kerner, if they're both playing, but then there's still a third that you can probably get on top somewhere. So, yeah, it's not too bad of an issue. In terms of what are some things, I mean, I feel like St Kilda are probably going to get this done anyway, but what are some key things that you think the Saints need to carry over from last week into this week to help ensure they get the 4 points?
Definitely the intensity, so the speed on the ball. We wanted to play on, not at all costs, but we played on at the right times and broke the game open with our leg speed. And I've been a big promoter of the fact that we are the fittest, quickest team in the competition, and it definitely didn't show in round one. I think that was more out of hesitation and Adelaide's pressure. But last week, we really did take the game on. It looked like we were hungry to hit the scoreboard. You know, sometimes you can sense when your team's in second gear. They're not, you know, they're cruising a little bit. I don't want to feel that on the weekend. I want to feel that intensity that we felt last week, and to be able to take the game on and lower our eyes. Because I know that, you know, obviously Tom Stewart was out for the majority of last week, but even then their back line, Geelong's back line, is so well set that you don't want to be bombing it in even if Tom Stewart's not there, because Blixarge gets back. They've got some other decent players that can do that. DeConey can push back and support the back line. So the big thing for me is lowering our eyes and being patient going inside 50. If the game's wide open and we've got numbers everywhere, obviously you can go in quick. But if we're just bombing it in because it's Richmond and we just think it's going to happen, that's when I'll be annoyed, because that's just a bad habit that lazy teams have. They just think it's going to happen. They don't try and make it happen.
Yeah.
So if we're methodical in our ball movement and we're hitting lead ups, that's when I know, okay, we're taking this seriously. We're switched on. But if we're just bombing it to the top of the goal square and Traynor's marking it, and he's, like I said in my preview, he's having 20 marks. Like, we always have a backman that just dominates against us, you know? like super coach numbers, like put him as captain and he'll get ridiculous numbers. So, yeah, if Luke Trainor's eating it up in the first term, then I'll know we're playing lazy football.
And that, and yeah, I suppose from our perspective, if you, you know, I'm sure St Kilda watched exactly how Port Adelaide tore us apart with their quick ball movement. So yeah, we're going to have to be very well switched on to make sure we try and slow that down. I suppose what we try and force teams, I suppose a lot of AFL clubs do, trying just to kick that long ball down the line. We've lost and Miller and all that can set up and just try and kill the contest. But the big concern we had last week is Port had a ridiculous amount of uncontested possession. I think they're almost 170 more than us and a lot more marks as well. So if we let you guys control the ball and pick your way down the field, it's going to get ugly really quickly. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what we've actually learned from last week and if we can apply it for a sustained period of time. Do you buy into playing man-on-man a lot these days? I feel like most teams play zone defenses and team defenses, but when things aren't going your way, do you think there's still a place in the game to go man-on-man? Because a few of us were calling for that last week, but it just didn't happen.
I think so. I think it's a time and a place. Like I think if you're struggling like maybe Richmond were last week, I think man on man's, it's almost like, all right, putting the responsibility back on. I need to just go back to the basics. I need to win just my matchup and not worry about the rest of my teammates because I should be trusting them to win their matchups. And if we all win our matchups, or at least the majority of them, then the collective can start moving. Then we can play on and we can take the game on and maybe shift the momentum back in your favor. Zonal, your communication needs to be absolutely switched on. You need to be telling that guy, all right, I'm going to leave my man, you cover him, and I'm going to go over there. You know, like if the communication's off, that's when you get torched. So I think for an up and coming team or a struggling team, I think sometimes going back to the basics is the right thing. And when we're struggling, I'm watching, I'm like, all right, just go man on man now. Let's just slow down the game, win your contest, break even, just repeat ball ups. And take the momentum and the sting out of the game, and then you can start to implant your DNA. I think zonal works best when you have the momentum, when you're in the control. You dictate everything in a weird way. To me, if you're on the back foot, I think man-on-man is probably the best way to go.
I agree. I, with what you said at the start, is spot on. Just let everyone try and win their own individual contest. Yeah. And with a lot of young kids, maybe that can sometimes backfire if they're up against an experienced player. But at the same time, 100%. The game's probably already done by this stage and it's a learning that they can take from it. So I think there's a few things to gain from it. So it's going to be interesting to see how we handle that. And like I said earlier, how we handle the start of the game. Are St Kilda fast starters typically?
No, we are slow starters. So we were 6-1 down in round one, but then we were 6-1 up in round two. So I'm hoping the blowtorch is on them. And obviously this is a type of game where if you don't start well and you give Richmond, like any team in the AFL, it doesn't matter where they are on the ladder. If you give them a little sniff, they get a bit of a jump on you. The crowd gets involved. If Richmond fans turn up to Marvel, I'm not so sure yet. Let me know. But yeah, I think irrespective of position, you don't want to be starting slow. Because that to me is just up here and you're not switched on. It's not the, like most of the time, yes, the other team's playing a little bit better, but generally it's a little bit of them, but it's also the majority is, I just don't give a shit, or I'm not completely switched on to my opponent, to what the team's doing. I'm still in the locker room. That's the way I see it. But last week we came out and we wanted to pretty much have the game done in the second term. We got to 40 points 10 minutes into the second. I'm like, that's what I want to see again.
Yeah, kill the just game. That killer instincts, yeah. So 100%. There you go. That'll be an interesting battle if you guys are coming out to do that, and we're going to try and find a way to arrest it. Now, if you were to put yourself in the shoes of coaching against St Kilda, what weaknesses or what places of your areas of your game should we target to try and pick it apart?
Well, that's a great, great question. Well, our biggest weakness is midfield. So if you can dominate clearances and put that defense on the back foot, like I mentioned before, you probably end up scoring. I think scores going inside 50 against us are pretty high, but we're able to kind of minimize inside 50. So if you get it in there enough, there's a chance, you know, 40% of the time you might hit the scoreboard. Obviously, negate Cal Wilkie if you can, make him accountable. But I think the big one is controlling Nasiah off halfback, making him defend. Because we have a lot of attacking defense, like defenders. So like Sinclair plays at halfback often, Nasiah does. If you can make them accountable on the turnover, that's when you'll get us. Because they're not great at manning a bloke. They want to run off. They want to, you know, They want to create. They don't want to be worrying about, okay, what's the guy behind me doing?
Yeah.
So that would be it. And obviously, yeah, making sure Jack McRae doesn't get it. I don't know if you would tag. I'm sure Richmond wouldn't tag anyone. Like, is that even a... There's probably no point in doing that, is there?
We did in round one. We had Camden McIntosh sit on Patrick Cripps. And even though Cripps still got 30-odd touches, he actually limited his efficiency with the ball, which was a huge win.
Yeah.
But then, oddly enough, we didn't really do it in round two, and Connor Rosie got 39 touches and smashed us. And I don't know whether it's because we didn't think he could go with Rosie or what the go was. But so, in terms of comparison, in round one, McIntosh attended, I think, 22 centre bounces, and against Port, he attended 6. And I don't know why we went away from something that worked, but I definitely think there's a role to play. The problem that I've got is I don't know who he goes to, because you've got quite a few players that can cause damage, and some of you did mention, so I'll bring them up now in terms of matchups. I actually had McIntosh potentially sitting on Wanganeen Malira just because he's so damaging. Like, the way he's able to sort of just sit outside the contest at the top of 50 and impact whether it's a pass inside 50 to your forwards or a shot on goal himself, he's proving to be an elite, very damaging player. So he's definitely one option for McIntosh because he's probably got okay speed to keep up with him. But then, yeah, I worry that if McRae starts getting off the leash, do we have to swap it over? And then do we have someone else to take Wanganeen Malira? But yeah, he's been a big danger man, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, McIntosh he's pretty good for a goal, isn't he? He bobs up every now and then, kicks a good goal.
He doesn't mind a goal. Yeah. It depends on what colour headband he's wearing. If he's got a black headband on, it seems to have some more superpowers than the yellow one, I reckon.
What's with the headband too? He's got a fully shaved head, doesn't he?
No idea. He must just sweat profusely to try and keep it out of his eyes. It's the only possible explanation. Or he's turning into an influencer.
Yeah, I'm loving the look. He needs to get sponsored. He needs to get like a Nike here or just a brand on the headband.
Make
extra money, you know?
Sell him at the club store. People will be all over that for his 200th game coming up in a few weeks.
Absolutely. So,
but so Wanganeen Malira, do you think he'll exclusively play halfback, or will he push up and play on the wing as well at various stages?
He's pushing up naturally in the game, but I think he'll just always at every bounce be at halfback.
Okay.
I think Wilson, Wood, Brad Hill, Ronnie Burns, Toby probably play the wing roles a bit more, and then Naz completely controls the halfback, especially if we put Sinks in the guts, because we can probably afford to do that and put Sinclair in that midfield rotation with Steele and McRae, not to mention Garcia, Winhager, you know, a couple of extra options there for us.
So if he does line up at halfback, I'd actually be more inclined to maybe try someone like and I've got Mansell in my next slide, but Mansell or Steely Green. I think McIntosh would then be better served to play in the middle on McRae if that was the case. But yeah, there's going to be a few decisions to make. But the next one I had was Mansell on Sinclair, because again, Sinclair, along with Wanganeen Malira, does provide quite a lot of drive for you around the ground, which I don't think we can afford to let that happen with ease. Otherwise, you're going to get a heap of inside 50 that's very, very easy, which is not going to end well for us.
Yeah, and I think, he definitely found some form last week. Kicked 2 goals as well, so he's adding that to his game, you know, hitting the scoreboard more, pushing up the ground like Naz. So I think, I don't know if it's just... a coincidence from last week, or maybe it was a directive from the coaches, but Naz and Sinks definitely are being more aggressive without the ball. They're really starting in higher positions when, you know, there's a ball up on our 50. They're probably near the center circle or pushing up into the contest.
Yeah.
So that's probably just to combat the fact that we don't have a Max King to kick goals. So we've got to find goals, extra goals from the midfield as well.
Yeah.
And from other sources. So with them pushing up and being such good ball users and goal kickers when they're in front of the sticks, it's kind of adding another layer for us.
And what I like about this matchup kind of ties back into what you mentioned earlier about how we might be able to pick you apart is, from an accountability perspective, Mansell is probably the one likely up forward for us to get off and try and kick a few goals. He's a bit of a live wire, he and Seth Campbell in particular. So if they can somehow make Sinclair or Wanganeen Malira be a bit more accountable, that's going to be our best bet to try and curve their influence a little bit.
Yeah, and then if you do achieve that, then that puts more pressure on like Brad Hill, like the other outside players, Darcy Wilson as well. And they've been pretty good. Brad Hill had a shocker in round one, but he got a little bit better in round two, but he should still expect more from him. He only had 13, I think, last week. So to me, the blowtorch is on Hilly. But this is the sort of game that yeah, if you're worried about Sinks, Naz, these other blokes, and Hill just kind of gets to go out and do what he wants to do, then it wouldn't surprise me if he has, you know, 25 and dominates the game.
Yeah, yeah. So he's due for a bounce back game. That's lovely. What about Mason Wood? What's he doing? He usually tortures us when he played for Kangaroos, especially. It would kill us, and then even more so when he shifted to St Kilda.
He had a ripper last week. I don't know. I'll check his stats, but I think from what people were voting online, he was very close to getting man of the match. I think he kicked two really? Or three. He had 20 odd possessions. There was definitely vintage Mason Wood again. What do you have? 20, 26, two goals, one, 10 marks, three tackles, 121 fantasy points, 73% disposal efficiency. So he was absolutely on top of his game. And he was He's drifting back been a back revelation. As well. Yeah, he's been great from North.
Like, that's one of the almost better pickups in recent memory from someone who wasn't really a much of a matchless player at one club to then taking his game to a completely another level at St Kilda. I'm guessing it's coming down to the fact that the coaching staff have actually backed him in and given him confidence to execute his game and play his way. But yeah, he's been an amazing transformation, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of when people talk about, you know, trades or... you know, I don't know if he, I think he was delisted, wasn't he, from North, for memory?
Was he even, okay. Oh, I didn't, yeah.
He might have been delisted, free agent or something, but yeah, like you look at the last 5-6 years, he's been excellent for us. Yeah, absolutely yeah. Excellent. And he had such a different dimension because he can play tall, he can kind of play small, he's good for a couple of goals a game, but he always goes back behind the ball if we're under pressure and he relieves the back line so much with his marking power. Coming up as that third man with Wilkie, Dugs or Caminiti when we're under pressure. So, yeah, he's so good on the attack, but he's so good defensively. And to me, that's, you know, that's the prototype Ross Lyon player. Defense yeah. first, then attack. And he's yep. doing that.
Yes, well, I'm sure all Richmond fans out there will be on Mason Wood watch because, like I said, he smashes us every time, no matter where he plays. The final big matchup, and I usually include the Ruckman most weeks, to be honest, but Nankervis up against Marshall, going to be a huge battle. Oh. Marshall's honestly one of the best Ruckman in the comp, and I feel like he's a little bit underrated externally from St Kilda, but these two are big heavyweights that are just going to be going toe-to-toe. Nank for us last week, he had a bit of a weird game. He didn't take a mark and didn't lay a single tackle, which is, I can't remember the last time that's happened, and he will be filthy on himself, so he actually might come out a little bit fired up, old Nank, but... Yeah, in terms of how the midfield battle goes, it's going to be pretty key to what these two gentlemen do.
Yeah, they've had good battles in the past. I think a few times Nank's got the better of Rowe, and then there's been a couple of times where Rowe's gotten off the leash, but he was very underdone in round one, Roma, and only played up forward for a little bit. Looked like he's playing off one leg, to be honest, and I was a bit annoyed that we just didn't give him the week off. But and then I thought maybe he wouldn't play last week, but he was unbelievable last week. 29 disposals... second most clearances or something on the ground. He was remarkable. You're right. He doesn't get enough credit. I've seen so many games where people freak out about a ruckman that's had 10 touches and 40 hitouts. Rose doing 29 disposals and 35 hitouts. Like,
yeah,
you know, you can't ask for much more. And he's another big midfielder. But to me, if I went through all of the opposition rucks that kind of at least get close to breaking even to Rowe, it's Nank. Nank's had like he's had his number a couple of times, I think, from what I've seen. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Rowe has 20 and a goal and does well, but also Nank's numbers will be pretty high. I think they'll both just go toe to toe.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And like Marshall does well to get forward as well. He actually impacts the game pretty well there too. And that's always what worries me with Ruckman like that. I felt the same about DeConing in round one, his ability to get forward, but he didn't actually do it. So if Marshall gets forward, it just makes Nank that little bit more accountable. And hopefully he can still get up and down the ground quick enough. But yeah, I'm expecting a pretty physical contest from the two of them. It should be interesting. But weirdly enough, even when Nate wins the ruck contest, depending on how flat-footed our midfield are, I'm finding now that opposition mids are actually like sharking our ruck taps better than what we are. So we're kind of getting done on two fronts there. So that's something that they've had to obviously try and rectify during the week. But yeah, we'll have to see how that one pans out. It should be a big, big battle. Well, with the matchups all said and done, what are your final thoughts and tip, including margin, for this big game tomorrow?
Ooh, tip is the Saints. Margin, I'll go with 49 points. I'll go just shy of the 9-10 goal margin. If we play well.
Yeah, it's if Richmond of last week turn up, it's going to be very much a 49-plus margin to you guys for sure. If the Richmond of round one turn up from the second half, we might hang a little bit closer. But I feel like that you guys play Marvel way too well and have done for quite some time. I reckon you'll get up by about, 30 or 40. But for us, I'm kind of just hoping to see some more green shoots, show some good things. We want Lawler to do some nice stuff and trainer Harry Armstrong, just to see some flashes of brilliance from them. And you just want to see effort across the game, right? You don't mind losing to teams who are better than you as long as you can easily see the players are having a crack and doing their best, which I don't think we had last week. We only had 39 tackles last week while conceding more than 170 uncontested balls. So if we can rectify things and show we've learnt and done something a little bit better and improved, then I think we'll hopefully be a little bit happier than last week. But not so sure the 4 points will come our way.
You never know. It's so early in the season. Like I said before, it's form lines kind of... There's no form line. So we've both had a shocker and we've both had a win. That's the way it is going into the game, really. We didn't talk about Lawler, by the way. He's been... I don't know what the Richmond fans' assessment over two games has been. I didn't see... I think he kicked a goal last week. He was all right last week.
Yeah, he was probably quiet in the first half, but it's really hard because the whole team was quiet in the first half. So it's probably more difficult for a young player to then get into the game when no one else is helping out. But he kicked a nice 55-metre goal that looks pretty effortless. I think they're just going to have to look to start working on the midfield minutes and the balance of being forward and midfield. But given he's not done a footy pre-season before, I think that's where they've got to take their time and get him to build into it. But now he looks a strong lad and seems to settle in really well. So we'd just like to see him use the ball by foot a bit more because he is a good passer. But he's also trying to be very unselfish and bring his teammates into the game, which you can't blame him being a first-year player.
Yeah, that's the case, isn't it? You see a lot of these first-year players. Like even Mateus, when he debuted, it was very much, he'd have 10 handballs and one kick. And then after 10 games, he's starting to go for the long bombs from 50 and kicking goals. And you're like, okay, well, there we go. There's that confidence. So it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so nervous. You're like, oh, that guy's a senior player. I'm just going to give it to him.
Yeah, 100%. It's just that sense of belonging and feeling like you're part of the team now. So it can take a few weeks for that to happen, I guess.
Yeah, which makes it even more insane how Nick Daicos comes in and he just starts stuff like just kicking goals and having 40 every week.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Between him and Sheasel, they make everyone else look stupid with their first years. It was ridiculous.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, all right, Jay, well, thank you so much for jumping on, mate. Appreciate it. Are you heading to the game tomorrow?
Yep, I'll be there. Go most, pretty much any game in Melbourne. I'll be up top. Level 3 watching it. So hopefully my live review will be a positive one. I don't know. If it might be a rant, mate. Who knows? Who knows these days? I don't think any team can be trusted at the moment.
No, you'd have to be 5 or 10% off and it can change the whole way the game goes, can't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, thank you again for your time today, mate. Much appreciated. Good luck for the game tomorrow. Hopefully, we all get through unscathed, and I'm sure you might be the happier man after the game, no doubt. But thank you again for your time, and hopefully everyone enjoyed. Until next time, go Tigers.
Thanks for having me.